How can I know God's will? We started on Tuesday with this, and we've been we used a passage out of 1 John 5 about if we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us, and if we know He hears us, we know we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. And so we've been talking about how important it is to understand God's will, know God's will, and more importantly, even do God's will. And the last couple of days, we looked at scripture that tells us expressly, this is the will of God. Like, this is, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so there was a number of those that we kind of peered into just to, to get some mile markers there about, well, God says in His word, this is, He's not willing that any should perish. You know, He's willing that folks come to know Him, to be saved. And there's just some things you can know it's God's will. If somebody says, well, I don't know if God wants to save me or not. Well, the Bible says it's God's will that you not perish. Christ died for you. And so the will of God is so very, very important. I was looking at a passage in Colossians this, also a little bit ago, Colossians 1:9, where Paul prayed, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. That is, that you'll know His will.
I actually read that this morning too.
In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I think we dipped into that earlier in the week. But again, Paul, that's one of the things that Paul prayed, that these people whom he loved, they would know God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So you and I, believers, we need to know the will of God. And today we're going to talk about a few other things that pertain to the will of God. And I want to share with you that God's will is rooted in and anchored in His purposes for your life. You see, God sees the big plan He has for you. He knows that when He formed you in your mother's womb, He had a plan and a purpose for you. The day you got saved, it's mapped out. He's had certain things He created you to do. And all of us are unique, just like we have unique fingerprints. We are uniquely made by God. We bear His image. And now, having been restored through Jesus and His redemption, we can live out in the fullness God's intentions for our life. And so God's will is rooted in purposes. In 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter begins by talking about Jesus, how He lived according to the will of God. And then he turns to his audience and says, you need to, you know, you need to live toward the will of God. Let me read a couple of verses there in verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, that is in His physical body, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may have sufficed us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. And then he goes into, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable adulteries, and all that kind of stuff. So he's comparing the will of the Gentiles, the way these Gentiles formerly lived, to the way they're to live now, to the will of God. And this idea of suffering in the flesh, there's a war against our fallen nature. But when we do the will of God, we're overcoming those tendencies and we're living in alignment with God's purposes for our life.
Yes. And we can do that through the power of God, through His Holy Spirit. So God's will is rooted in His purposes. So it's important for Him to, for you to understand God's purpose for your life, God's purpose for humanity, for the world, things that we know through the scriptures that are His will, that all should be saved, that we should be evangelizing these type of things.
It's also important to do the will of God for the right reasons. I mean, it's always good to do God's will no matter what. But a higher level of obedience is not only doing the will of God, but doing the will of God for the right reason. Like, you tell your kids you want them to take out the trash. Okay, I'll do it and take it out. But remember, take out, oh, yes, I'm glad to help you out, Mom or Dad, and take that. It's a little bit different there.
You get a better reward.
Yeah, the motives of our hearts are important, and there's some scripture for that.
So looking at how we need to do the will of God from our heart, Ephesians 6:6, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, talked about them obeying and from their heart. And he said, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart.
And to me, that's a convicting scripture to think that sometimes, and let's be honest here, sometimes you might be willing to do something for someone else that you're not doing, even though the scripture tells you need to be doing that. In other words, you may be choosing, sometimes we may do things to please people when in fact, all along, it would please God if we were doing that. Mm-hmm. And again, even in the church, if we're not careful, we can do things to be seen or to have the appearance. Mm-hmm. And if we're not doing it from our heart to the Lord, that's not the level of life that we're called to live. It's important that we do it from the heart, to please the Lord, not eye service as men pleasers. Mm-hmm. And men pleasers, peer pressure can lead us to not do God's will too. Mm-hmm. You know, the pressure of the world, like Paul, we read in Romans 12 that it don't be pressed into the mold of the world, but give yourself as a sacrifice that you can know what God's will is. Again, you've got to look beyond the voice of the world, look beyond people that's trying to sway you to do what they want you to do, and really kind of like, Lord, what is your will about this? Mm-hmm. What is your will about this? And I know in the season that we've been in, it's been real difficult in some areas. I know, like for instance, like wearing masks. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people have strong opinions about that. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of looked at it like, well, by wearing a mask, I'm not being told that I can't preach Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I'm being asked by our governor, who's a Christian woman, you know, Peter said, submit yourself to the ordinances of man for the Lord's sake.
Right.
That when we are willing to submit to those kind of things for the Lord's sake, it's pleasing to the Lord. Whereas if we just look at it through our citizenry, well, bless God, I have a right. You know, we can have those strong, and some of us have those strong feelings, but at the end of the day, I've had to look, well, what does the scripture say? Am I, the scripture tells me to prefer others more than myself, to be mindful of others, not mindful of, to do what they want instead of God, but mindful of what might help protect them or help them or demonstrate love to
help
them.
Help our communities yeah. overcome this thing, you know?
Yeah. And some of you may disagree with that, but I'm just saying in my heart, mm-hmm. as I struggle with this with the Lord, it's like, well, the Lord's, it's clear, you know, even in scripture, you see the early church, even Jesus, they said, well, what about paying taxes to Caesar? You know, he didn't say, hey, we're under another kingdom. You know, we don't pay any attention to that. He said, no, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, the things of God that are God. But, you know, if rendering to Caesar means you can't render to God, then maybe that's another thing. But, you know, to me, the wearing the mask hasn't been that big a deal. Obviously, inconvenience, but it's just not that big a deal to put it on when I'm walking into a restaurant and I get the table, I can take it off. It's not that big to me because I'm trying to do it as unto the Lord, and I'm trying to, yeah. to align with the authorities. And that's the way when we know when we're really in submission to authority or not, when we're asked sometimes to do things that we may not prefer to do. And that's sometimes even in our marriages, we demonstrate our love by that. You know, I may not like washing the dishes, but, that's one way I can serve my family, or, you know, or cutting the grass or whatever it may be. You may not enjoy doing those things, but you do it because you want to honor and you want to prefer, you want to love.
Yeah, we don't want to have a rebellious heart
yeah.
where we're always just looking for something to buck up against and protest
yeah. and
against.
That's just where I'm coming from. And again, I have no judgment for somebody who sees it's different. Each servant answers to their own master.
This feels compassionate to me. It
yeah.
feels like I'm walking in love and compassion and honor for other people.
So
that's where I come from, but we're all different, but God,
that just comes to my mind in thinking about doing the will of God from our heart, you know, from our heart or spirit man, because my opinions about things may be one thing, but what I feel like would be the right thing for me to do mm-hmm. may be another thing. And that's some of that's dying to ourselves. Not easy.
Oh, lots of that's dying to ourselves. Dying to yourself is always where the challenge comes in. You know, that's always where it's hard.
And there's a promise of doing God's will.
Yep. 1 John 2:17.
Yeah, and the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. There's eternal consequences to doing the will of God. You know, that because that's what the word forever means. And so in Revelation 21:3, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And this is a big picture idea. When everything's said and done, God says, I will dwell with them. They shall be with me. I will be their God. That's the big picture idea of God's will. So the message of the cross is all pointing toward that. God originally created man and woman to fellowship with him in a garden where the river was flowing and there was a tree of life. And when it's all said and done, because of what Jesus has done, God's going to have people with them that we're going to be dwelling with him, and we shall be his people and he'll be our God. We'll be a new heaven and new earth. There'll be a river flowing out from his throne. There'll be the tree of life for the healing of the nations that we can eat from. And so again, all of our steps of obedience now are pointing to something greater, something grander, something even more glorious that's coming. What we see now is not all we're going to see. What we have now is not all we're going to have. And that's the reason there's a difference between understanding and spiritual understanding.
Right.
Spiritual understanding is interpreting things through the light of eternity, through the light of the scripture, with the illumination provided by the Holy Spirit. We come to a place of spiritually understanding things, because as I mentioned this yesterday, sometimes in life, things just don't make a lot of sense. And it's important that we wisdom, have God's perspective, have spiritual understanding. And even when we can't understand, I go back again to Philippians 4, there's this peace that passes our ability to humanly understand. And I think that's tied in with spiritual understanding too, which means, you know, I'm still not putting all this together just right. But I know this is what the scripture says, and I trust God. Mm-hmm. And that's spiritual understanding. You're resting, you're under something firm and strong, you know, your belief in God.
I want to come back to what you're talking about, the bigger perspective, because that scripture in 1 John 2:17, where it says, he that does the will of God abides forever. And John points us to the bigger picture, the realm of forever. And then you tied it with the Revelation 21 scripture. And I think in the here and now, there's so many ways that we need to ask ourselves, am I having an eternal perspective? Am I having an eternal perspective for the salvation of people? You know, all the things that God has said that he clearly wants to see happen.
Absolutely. I mean, the issue of salvation is primary. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believed would not perish. So that's primary. Mm-hmm. And so everything else in some way should connect or point to that. Mm-hmm. You know, our example, we want to live a life exemplary that somehow the witness of the way we live our life might point someone to Christ. Mm-hmm. We want to make decisions in a way so that our decisions reflect the mind of Christ. And you know, when he came, he walked among a very deeply rooted religious people rooted in Old Testament scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he says, you search the scripture in vain because they speak of me, yet you don't receive me. You don't understand who I am. So it's very easy for us to wear shades in a Christian life that are not allowing us to see what the scripture teaches. Mm-hmm. So the church's mission is about salvation. It's about carrying the gospel to the nations. It's about following the Holy Spirit. And again, sometimes you have filtering shades sentence to filter out all the supernatural. No, we're called to live a supernatural life. We will filter out the, you know, we can kind of, push aside the things that we don't like the scripture calls us to do and cling to the ones we do like. And we're called to, if it's good, we're to cling to it. If it's evil, we're to refrain from it. So, there's the expressly stated will of God in many, many scriptures. And then there's other scriptures that express the principles of how to live a life that pleases God. So the scripture may not tell you, you are to marry Martha in March of 2023, you know. It may not tell you that. But it may tell you that the woman that you are to marry, the man, what you should look for. Mm-hmm. It does tell you about what your life needs to look like when you're making a major decision. So there's expressly stated, like, it is the will of God to give thanks in every situation. Or there are principles that you apply to ascertain what you believe to be God's will. And I believe as you use those principles, even in the middle of that, the Holy Spirit's guidance is available with peace. Like this, yes, this feels right. Because when you're trying to determine God's will, the first thing is determining what is the right thing to do. The second is, okay, when is the right time to do it? And then thirdly, what is the right way to do it? So it's just knowing what to do, then doing it in the right way at the right time. All of that's involved in fully obeying God. Sometimes you know God's will, and sometimes the church can be guilty of this. Like, well, it's God's will for you to be saved, and if you don't, you're going to, you know, and just be real
harsh,
and where the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. And that doesn't mean you can't be firm, as you've heard me say before, but some people talk about people going to hell with a gleam in their eye instead of a tear in their eye. And so I think our heart, the reason we're doing things, our motives and understanding God's way and God's timing and God's principles. It's not just a bullet list that we check off. It's often like going to the grocery store. I'm going to get these items. I'll check them off. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can know real clearly and easily, like, should I steal this or not from my neighbor?
Yeah.
No, thou shalt not steal.
Right.
You know, should I give this to this person? It's the Holy Spirit leading you to do that, you know. So, and on you could go with that about learning principles and getting discernment.
So it's important that we know the will of God, and God wants us to know His will. He is not trying to hide His will from us. If we set our heart to seek Him, He wants to reveal His will to us, because that's the place where we can live in peace and blessing and prosperity in so many ways. And so it's important to consider, what does the word say about the will of God, and am I living in the will of God?
Yeah. And we've got a more, we're going to get into next week, some, Lord willing, some obstacles and hindrances to doing the will of God. And again, some of these will be clear, overt things. Some of them will be misunderstandings or misapplications. We'll talk about some of those. And hopefully that'll be helpful. We hope this is helping you. It's helping us as we study it, because I'm always challenged when I get into the scripture. And we just pray you have an awesome weekend. If you're not worshiping anywhere and you live in our area, we invite you to Grace House. We have an outdoor service at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. You bring a lawn chair. You can sit in your car and listen on the radio. We do have a speaker system for those sitting in a lawn chair, and we've only missed like one Sunday during this whole time.
That's incredible.
And then we have a 10:30 a.m. indoor service. It's a full-fledged worship service, children's ministries, and so forth. And also at 10:30 a.m., we stream online, and that'll be this coming Sunday. We invite you in. We hope that each of you are involved in a local fellowship somewhere and worshiping with God's people and fellowshipping with God's people. We need that. We need one another. We're stronger together, and we bless all of our brothers and sisters. We bless all our sister churches who are lifting up Jesus, and we just pray you have a wonderful weekend. And please know that we love you.
Thanks for being on here, and we bless each one of you. Have a good weekend.